This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at weightwatchers.com.
Quality of self-discipline is the quality that will make you a big success. It's the ability to force yourself to do what you know you should do. And here is the wonderful discovery. This persistence is self-discipline in action. Every time you persist, you build your self-discipline. Every time you practice self-discipline, you build your ability to persist. And the two of them are tied into your self-esteem. So the more you persist, the more you like yourself. And the more you like yourself, the more discipline you have. And the more discipline you have in practice, the more you like yourself. As a result, the more you persist. And eventually you get onto an upward spiral where you become absolutely unstoppable. You reach the point where you know you can achieve the goal and nothing in the world can stop you. And every step that you take forward makes you stronger and stronger and stronger until finally people say, I know one thing about him, I know one thing about her. You cannot stop him or her. Once they decided they want something, they will not stop until they get it. And when you develop that quality, there will be nothing that is impossible to you.
Self-discipline is a learnable quality that anyone can attain through hard work and repetition. While this process may seem simple, it's not easy to do.
We say that self-discipline is self-control. It's self-mastery. Now, the payoff for practicing self-discipline is immediate. People think, well, geez, you know, I get these rewards way down in the future. No, no. There's an immediate reward. There's a wonderful line in spiritual development that said, you are not punished for your sins, but by them. In other words, there are things that you do that are harmful to you that cause immediate detriment. But you're also rewarded for the good things that you do, and you're rewarded immediately. So what we know is when you practice self-discipline, you actually like and respect yourself more. And you know, and I know, that how you feel about yourself on a minute-to-minute basis. Do you feel that you're a good person? Do you feel that you're a likable person, a successful person? The more you like yourself and respect yourself and value yourself on a minute-to-minute basis, the better is your attitude, the better is your reaction to other people. You just feel happy inside. And wonderfully enough, when you practice self-discipline, when you exert yourself to do what you know you should do, even though there's endless temptations to do something fun and easy, when you discipline yourself to do it, your self-esteem goes up. You actually like yourself more. Your self-image improves. You actually see yourself as a better person. And of course, as you know, your self-image determines your performance. The person you see in your mind will be the person that you will be on the outside.
You set priorities among your goals and rewrite your lists so that your most important goals are at the top. You then take a separate sheet of paper and you make a list of all the things that you can think of doing right now to move you toward the attainment of your most important goals. Fully 97% of adult Americans are trying to live their lives without clear, specific, written goals. This is the same as setting off across an unknown country without a roadmap. You may get somewhere eventually, but it will take you much longer, and it's far more likely that you will get lost and waste an enormous amount of time than if you planned your trip carefully with a roadmap and full information about the future terrain before you started out. The second discipline you need to develop for success is the discipline of planning. Many people think that they are too busy to plan, or they don't give themselves enough time to plan. You will save 10 minutes in execution and getting the job done for every minute that you invest in planning. You will get a 1,000% return on your time investment by taking the time to think through in advance what you are going to do in the hours and days ahead.
The process of developing discipline is simple, though not easy. Nothing worthwhile is easy. First, decide upon the one discipline that can be most helpful to you in your career at the moment. Don't try to change several things about yourself at once, or develop several disciplines for yourself simultaneously, no matter how attractive and desirable they may be at the moment. Your basic need is to focus and concentrate
on the development of a single discipline until it is locked in and becomes a part of your personality. Then you can move on to the development of the next discipline on your list. Once you've chosen a discipline to develop, begin to think about how you would behave if you already had this discipline or habit. See yourself acting or reacting in a situation where you want to practice this discipline. Then create a positive affirmation for yourself to continually reinforce this new discipline. You will actually become what you say to yourself about yourself over and over again. This will build your self-confidence and you'll begin to see yourself in a new light. The quality of self-discipline is something that you can learn by continuous practice, over and over, until you master it. Once you've mastered the ability to delay gratification, the ability to discipline yourself to keep your attention focused on the most important task in front of you, there is virtually no goal that you cannot accomplish and no task that you cannot complete.
And the wonderful thing is when you practice self-discipline, especially in exercise, for example, but even in hard work, your brain releases endorphins. And endorphins are called nature's happy drug. And it actually makes you happy to practice self-discipline, to take control of yourself and make yourself do the right thing and complete it. You feel good about yourself in the moment. And of course, the effect that it has on your future can be tremendous. Now, fortunately, self-discipline is a habit that you can learn with practice and repetition. If you do something over and over again, you eventually develop a habit. The difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is successful people have success habits. And the most important success habit they have is the ability to make themselves do what they know they should do at this time. And wonderfully enough, if you practice it over and over again, it finally locks in.
And as you keep repeating that over and over again, you program it deeper and deeper into your subconscious mind, and your subconscious mind then begins to push you to be on time for every meeting or appointment. Now, once you've decided on the discipline you're going to develop, the key is for you to launch strongly on your new discipline. Resolve to never allow an exception until it becomes permanent. If you fall off the wagon, immediately restate your affirmation as a command to yourself and begin trying it again. This is the only way you can develop the habit of discipline in that particular area. The best part of this process of developing disciplines is the direct relationship between self-discipline and persistence. The more you persist in any endeavor, the greater self-discipline and self-confidence you'll develop. It's been well said that persistence is self-discipline in action. The more consistently you practice your chosen disciplines, the more you will like and respect yourself. You will feel more confident and optimistic. You'll become more effective in every area of your life. When you develop the disciplines of leadership excellence, you'll become a more powerful and resourceful leader.
It is a habit, a practice, a philosophy, and a way of living.
Everyone can become a great leader and have better self-confidence and achieve success if they continue to do the right things in the right way. The fact is that you can develop whatever qualities you consider desirable and necessary. For some people, it will be easier, and for others, it will take more time and effort. But each person has the inborn ability to shape his or her character and personality in a positive way by being clear about his or her future intent and determined enough to press forward through the difficulties, resistance, and setbacks that you will always experience.
Goethe, the German philosopher, once said that everything is hard before it's easy. So developing the habit of self-discipline is hard. And be patient with yourself because you slip back all the time. All your life, you'll be slipping back. All your life, you have to fight this battle. You never get it to the point where it's locked in forever. Every morning you get up and that alarm goes off and you say, do I sleep a little longer or do I get up? You know, every time you look at a list of things to do, you say, do I start with the most important thing? As they say, do the worst first, or do I do something that's fun and talk to a friend or make a phone call? You've got to fight this battle every single day, but every time you fight and win, you feel better about yourself.
All successful men and women are highly disciplined in the important work that they do. All unsuccessful men and women are undisciplined and unable to control their behaviors and their appetites. And when you develop the same levels of high personal discipline possessed by the most goal-oriented, successful people in our society, you will very soon begin to achieve the same results that they do. It's no miracle. All great success in life is preceded by long, sustained periods of focused effort on a single goal, the most important goal, with the determination to stay with it until it is complete. Throughout history, we find that every man or woman who achieved anything lasting and worthwhile had engaged in long, often unappreciated hours, weeks, months, and even years of concentrated, disciplined work in a particular direction.
The discipline of daily goal setting will change your life. Why? Is well, we know that focus and concentration are essential to success. There are some skills that are helpful to success, but focus and concentration are indispensable. If you cannot focus and you cannot concentrate, then you have to work for someone else who will make you focus and concentrate, who will supervise you. The ability to focus, to be clear about what you want, and then to concentrate single-mindedly on achieving it, are both habits or disciplines that you can learn through practice. Most people, as I said, become preoccupied with their limitations, with what they don't have, and it holds them back from deciding what they really, really want. Every morning before you start out, you reprogram your subconscious mind and then start your day. My promise to you is this: if you will do this for 1 month, actually 21 days is good enough, your whole life will change. You'll see changes that are astonishing. People come up to me at every single seminar and say, it was incredible. I started to write my goals every day. I accomplished 8 of them in 6 months. I accomplished 5 in a week. I accomplished most of them within 12 months. It's transformed my life. So all I ask you to do, if you're not already doing it, is give it a try. Every minute spent in planning saves 10 minutes in execution. So disciplining yourself to plan your day thoroughly before you begin will save you at least 10 minutes for every minute you spend in planning, and according to the research, it will increase your productivity by 25 to 50%, maybe even double your productivity for every day that you plan. You see, if you're not working from a plan, then you just respond and react to whatever's going on. Somebody comes in, phone rings, there's an interruption or a problem, and you're off and running. But if you have a plan, you just keep working the plan. It gives you a track to run on, so you just keep working your plan. Begin the discipline of daily time management by making a list. Start off with a sheet of paper, again, think on paper, and write down everything you have to do in the course of the day. The very best time to make this list is the night before. If you do this, then your subconscious mind works on your plan all night long, and you often wake up in the morning with great ideas to implement your plan. Then you organize your list by priority before you begin. You don't just jump into it. Use the 80-20 rule that says that 20% of the items on your list will account for 80% of the value. Which are the most valuable? This is the hardest of all disciplines to learn. It's the essence of my teaching worldwide. It is the key to supercharging the quality of your life and your results. If you can start every morning with a list organized by priority and start on your number one task and stay with it till it's done, you will supercharge your life. You will release endorphins in your brain that causes you to feel great. You will motivate yourself and energize yourself and propel yourself into all your other tasks. You'll get twice as much done on any day where you start and complete your major task first thing than on any other day. The discipline of time management will then spread to all your other disciplines. When you can demonstrate each morning that you have the self-control, self-mastery, self-discipline to start and complete your most important task, you just feel fabulous about yourself. Force yourself to do what you know you should do, especially in the area of courage. The biggest obstacle to success, in my estimation, the estimation of the psychologist, is the fear of failure. It's the fear that it won't work out. It's the fear of loss of time or money or emotion. It's fear that goes back to early childhood. And the only way we can succeed is by overcoming this fear. And this fear is captured in the words, I can't. I can't. What about this? What about that? What about this? Fully 80% of the population is paralyzed by the fear of making a mistake. And why? Because in growing up, you make lots of mistakes and didn't like the feel of it. So eventually you become conditioned to avoid taking any risk at all. So you have to overcome this in order to realize your potential. But what we know is that courage, the courage to face fears, is a habit, and it's developed with practice. just like typing with a typewriter or riding a bicycle, you can actually develop the habit of courage by practicing courage whenever courage is required. Aristotle wrote about this in his Nicomachean Ethics in 350 BC. He said, if you desire to have a quality that you don't have, act in every instance where the quality is called for as though you already had it, and you will have it. So, as Ralph Waldo Emerson said, do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain. What he said was to confront your fears. The natural human tendency is to avoid a fear-causing or fear-inducing situation. Most of our fear problems seem to be bundled up with other people, by the way. It's confronting a boss, it's confronting a bad relationship, sometimes it's confronting a prospect, cold calling, going out and calling on customers, and facing rejection and failure and embarrassment and so on. But confronting that fear, instead of avoiding it, just do it. So the reason you want to confront your fears is not because of the incident specifically, it's because of what it does for your character. You want to demonstrate to yourself that you can face down a fear and look it square in the eye, and suddenly, surprise, surprise, it goes away, and you realize that the fear was in your own mind. If the fear of failure is summarized with the feeling, I can't, psychologists have found you can actually short-circuit or override the fear by saying to yourself very strongly, I can do it. So whenever you're afraid of anything, talking to somebody, confronting someone, dealing with something, say to yourself over and over again, I can do it, and then just do it. And you'll be amazed, the fear disappears. It's almost like, poof, it's gone. So the key is, you're looking at that telephone, to pick up the phone, to cold call, to prospect, just say to yourself, I can do it, and pick it up and dial. And suddenly the fear disappears. And you do this repeatedly, and eventually you develop the habit of courage. So discipline yourself to exercise daily. The very best time, of course, is in the morning. If you get up in the morning and exercise immediately, even if it's just stretching or going for a walk or riding a life cycle or walking on a treadmill, it doesn't matter what it is. If you get up in the morning and exercise immediately, not only will your body continue to burn calories all day, not only will you be more alert because you'll have highly oxygenated blood flooding your brain first thing in the morning, but you'll develop the discipline of starting on something that you would normally not want to do and getting it done, getting it out of the way. The more times I read about wealthy people, successful people, top business people, it's amazing how many of them get up at 5 o'clock and work out for an hour. It's absolutely astonishing. Over and over again, you see their daily routine is they get up at 5 or 5:30 and they work out for an hour before they start planning and organizing their day. If you can discipline yourself to do that, it have an enormous impact on your life. Also, when you exercise first thing in the morning for 30 to 60 minutes, your brain releases endorphins, which, as I said, make you happy. They make you feel exhilarated, make you feel more creative, more positive. You feel more personable. You're more eager to get to work and so on. So morning exercise just starts you off in fantastic mental and physical condition. The interesting thing, Thomas Jefferson once said, "Do you believe in luck?" He was asked. He said, "Yes." He said, "I believe in luck," he said, "and the harder I work, the more of it I have." So the harder you work, the luckier you get. The harder you work, the more opportunities you have, the more doors open up to you, the more opportunities you see. So in America, the average work week is 32 hours. As you know, in France, legally, the average work week is 35 hours, but then most people waste about half their time at work. According to Robert Half International, the average person wastes 50% of their time in idle chit-chat with coworkers, coffee breaks, lunches, reading the paper, surfing the internet, doing all kinds of things that don't contribute anything to the work. So here's the rule that will make you successful, happy, and rich, and it's this: work all the time you work. Work all the time you work. When you go to work, work. When you go to work, put your head down and go to work. Don't waste a single minute. Put your head down and work all day long. If somebody comes up to you and says, "Hi, how are you doing?" You say, "Fine, but right now I've got to get back to work, back to work, back to work." If you got a minute to chat, "Yes, but not now. Let's talk after work. Right now I've got to get my job done." And nobody will ever stop you when you say, "I've got to get back to work. I've got a job. I've got to get out. I've got something I have to get done." They'll go away and they'll ruin someone else's career. Remember, the greatest time wasters in the world of work are other people who take up your time with idle chit-chat and worthless gossip. You've got to avoid the time wasters. In every single company, these people go around and they're like a virus. They go around and they infect everybody they talk to. Stay away from time wasters. Make a habit of doing what unsuccessful people don't like to do. And of course, the logical question is, well, what is it that unsuccessful people don't like to do? Well, it turned out to be the same thing that successful people don't like to do either, but they do it anyway because they recognize that that's the price of success.
We're living at the very best time in all of human history. More people are going to make more money in the next few years than have ever been made in all of human history. More people are going to become millionaires and are becoming millionaires today at a faster rate than we've ever thought possible. And no one is better than you and no one is smarter than you. And if you do what other self-made millionaires do, then nothing in the world can stop you from eventually getting the same results as other self-made millionaires. And I hope you do.
Dare to go forward in your life. Dare to go forward in the direction of fulfilling your potential. Many years ago, I was a karate student. I was also a karate instructor, and I competed in 3 international championships. And one of the things that I learned from my best karate instructors, and I studied under 6 world champions, is they told me that when you fight, always move forward. Even if you're only moving forward 1/2 inch at a time, just always move forward. He said, when you're moving forward, 100% of your attention is forward. But if you're moving backward, even 1/2 inch at a time, half of your attention is always behind you and where you're going. So always move forward. Always have it, dare to go forward. Whenever you have a choice of either staying still and playing it safe or moving forward, move forward. Not because you'll necessarily succeed every time, because it reinforces and cements the habit of moving forward. And most people, when they have a choice of moving forward or staying playing it safe, play it safe. But I think General Douglas MacArthur said, there's no security in life, only opportunity. Life is very perverse in a way, because the more we seek security, the less we have it. And the more we seek opportunity, the more we have security. Helen Keller said this beautifully. She said, life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. That the tendency, she said, in the earlier parts of this statement, she said, the tendency to seek security is the low road to failure. That courage is absolutely essential. And one of the things that I used to think that if you were really courageous, eventually you got to the point where you weren't afraid. I'm going to tell you something, that if you're not a little bit afraid, at least 3 or 4 nights a week, you're not trying hard enough. If you're not falling on your face over and over again, if you're not trembling when you go to sleep with your heart pounding, then what is happening is you're not trying hard enough. You're living too far within your potential. That all really successful people live on the outside edge of what they're capable of. And it's always a little bit scary on the outside edge, because we all have feelings of uncertainty. We all have fears. We all have doubts that hold us back. But the brave person is simply the person who moves forward and keeps taking the chance. And you cannot imagine a successful person without courage. You cannot imagine a successful person without the courage to face and confront their fears and to move forward. In my experience, the fear of failure is the greatest single reason for failure in adult life. The fear of failure, the fear of making a mistake, of losing our money, our time, our effort, is what paralyzes us and holds us back. But the fear of failure is a habit which can be counteracted by the habit of courage. And if we don't overcome that fear of failure, then we'll just be like the 80-90% that do not fulfill their potential. See, the wonderful thing is only a few percentage of people fulfill their potential in any generation. And we can join those people simply by deciding to do so and doing what the other people do. It's as simple as that. If we decide to become an engineer, what do you study? You study engineering. If you want to become a better cook, what do? You study cooking. Do you try to do it all by yourself? No, you get cookbooks, you take classes, and so on and so forth. If you want to be successful, if you want to fulfill your potential, study the men and women who are fulfilling their potential and just do what they do.
Your self-esteem is largely determined by the gap between your self-image and your self-ideal. And is it contracting and getting smaller? Then your self-esteem is high. If it's getting wider because you fell off the wagon, you did or said something, you know, that you're not happy about, you know, that's not me, then your self-esteem will go down. So striving to be like your ideal causes your self-esteem and self-confidence to go up. And then when somebody gives you a compliment that is consistent with your being a better person, then you really feel happy, because you really feel that you're moving toward that great goal. So the stages of changing your self-concept are, number one, the change must be perceived by you as being both desirable and necessary. Remember we said before, changing a light bulb, the light bulb has to really want to change. Well, for you to change, you must consider it to be desirable, is something that you want, and necessary. This is something I need to do if I'm really going to realize my potential. And so if your self-concept, you want to have a self-concept of a very well-controlled and organized positive person, you say, this is something that's essential if I'm going to achieve maximum influence in my circle, or even become a great salesperson. If your self-concept is you want to be very well organized, and you need to be well organized to be successful in a competitive business, then you consider it to be both desirable and necessary. And that's the motive force that drives you. Number two is begin thinking about yourself as you would like to be. Sort of turn it over in your mind. John Assaroff, who you see tomorrow, great guy, he's done a program which he'll tell you about. It's called The Inner Game of Financial Success. And he got a call from a man named Timothy Galway. And Timothy Galway, 30 years ago, I read the book, wrote a book called Inner Tennis. And he's also written Inner Golf. And what he says, which is completely consistent with what we are learning here, what he said is if you want to be a better tennis player, imagine that you were a world champion tennis player already. Just imagine you're a world champion. As you move, as you swing the racket, you've seen them on television, just act as though, and think, I'm a world champion. And think of how you would act if you're a world champion. And surprise, surprise, your performance actually improves. You actually play better tennis just playing with the idea that you're a world champion. And if you're a world if you want to be a better golfer, then play with the idea that I'm already a great golfer. I am a great golfer. And just imagine, this is what you like, just imagine that you're already a great golfer and you actually end up playing better golf. He calls it the inner game of tennis, the inner game of golf. And it's the same thing with you. When you imagine yourself as already excellent at what you want to do. But changing your self-concept, we say, in your self-concept, the self-ideal is a combination of all the qualities of all the men and women you've admired throughout your life. Which, of course, if you read lots of biographies and autobiographies of men and women who are worthy of reading, as opposed to drunken rock stars and things like that, but when you read about Madame Curie or Thomas Edison or Mother Teresa, when you read stories about men and women who have done wonderful things with their lives, and all of them from humble beginnings, you start to think, I'd like to be that way. And when you read about their qualities and how they persisted, you start to absorb through the skin being like that when the condition requires it. When the situation requires it, yes, I'll be courageous too, and I'll be determined too, and I will be cheerful as well. So the more you read about people, the more you form a higher and better and clarified ideal. So this becomes your internal role model. And there's always this dynamic tension between the person you are and the person you would like to be. A person who thinks that they're already fine is not a person who's really open to any improvement. And people who think that they're already fine are usually people that are not really that admirable. Because every admirable person you'll ever meet thinks that they could be much better than they are. They could do much better. They always feel that I could be much more successful than this, or a better person, or I could be more compassionate and more patient and more loving. Even though other people think, geez, you're doing very well, they always compare themselves against an ever higher standard, which means that they're always in this state of dynamic tension toward becoming better and better and better. When you admire these people, you have an unconscious tendency to be more like them. And that's why it's important that you think and talk about people that you admire. The great tragedy for many young people today is that they admire divas and rock stars and basketball players and dancers with the idols. Those are the people they admire. And you can tell who they admire by who they watch, who they tweet, who they look at, who they replay, who they discuss, and so on. And that's not really very healthy, because these people are not good role models for young people. They're not good role models. I have had my life so profoundly and positively changed by role models, mostly men who kind of took me under their wing when I was growing up and coming from a lousy home. And they became role models to me, as even to this day, decades later, I can remember still wanting to be someone that they would approve. Somerset Maugham was once asked why he wrote so prolifically, and he had a beautiful line, which I think applies to life. He said, "I write to earn the respect of the people I respect." And what I have found is that that's what we do in life, is we do the things we do to earn the respect of the people we respect, and at least not to lose their respect. And many of us would go through tremendous privations and sacrifices not to lose the respect of someone whose respect we value. And so thinking about whose respect you value is a really important point. Who is really important in my life? Who do I really respect? And then you think, what would I need to do or not do to earn or to keep this person's respect? And you don't even have to know them. They just kind of, they can be people who are people that are very admirable.
Guard your integrity as a sacred thing. As Ralph Waldo Emerson said, nothing at last is sacred but the integrity of your own mind. Never compromise your integrity for anything, and never compromise your peace of mind for anything. You see, compromising your peace of mind is a way of compromising your integrity. Never do anything that disrupts your peace of mind. If it makes you feel unhappy, get out of it. Don't stay in relationships, don't stay in jobs, don't stay in situations that cause your peace of mind to be disrupted, because your peace of mind is the highest good that you have. And a person who practices consistency consistently structures their life so what they are doing is being true to themselves. What they are doing is living up to the very best that is in them as a human being. And that takes tremendous courage. It takes tremendous courage because it's so easy to go along with the crowd. But you'll never be really happy unless you know that you are being true to yourself and completely true to yourself.
Begin to visualize and create clear mental pictures. A visualized picture is a command to your subconscious mind. And when you visualize yourself performing at your best, your subconscious mind organizes your behaviors and actions on the outside so they're consistent with the picture that you just fed. It's almost like the picture is the command or the seed, and your subconscious mind is the garden. And what it does is the subconscious mind grows the behavior that you visualize. All the work on self-image psychology is really exciting. Visualize yourself as positive and confident. Visualize yourself as successful. Visualize yourself as happy. And what happens is you begin to behave on the outside consistent with that picture, but it's natural. You feel natural with the new behavior. Practice your visualization over and over again, because every time you visualize, as we said, every time you visualize, your subconscious takes it as a new command. Like you just did it again. You just performed excellently again. And you just keep replaying the picture. Before every event of importance, you'll find that success, well, I'm probably jumping ahead of myself. Your image must be clear, vivid, and exciting. That means the greater clarity your picture of yourself performing or your picture of yourself in the future, the faster it comes into your reality. Vividness is the most important thing of all. That's why if you go and see a house or take pictures of a house and take those pictures and put them where you can see them, read Architectural Digest, which has beautiful homes, or Homes Beautiful, or Sunset Home and Garden, Beautiful Homes and Garden, and read those pictures so you feed your mind with these photographs, almost like feeding them into your mental computer, then your mental computer strives to put you into the kind of home that you desire. Assume the role. Act as if you were already the person you wish to be. Walk and talk and act. I tell salespeople, if you really want to be impressive, when you go in to see a client, imagine that you are extremely wealthy. You're worth $100 million. But one of your hobbies is calling on people for a friend of yours who owns a company. So you like to make sales calls because you just sort of like getting out there and getting among them. And so you walk in as though you're worth $100 million and just could not care less whether this person buys or not. You really like to be able to talk to them and find out what their needs are and help them if you possibly can. Whether they buy or not, you couldn't care less because you're wealthy. You're just doing this, you know, for a friend. And when you have this attitude, I'm already wealthy, it takes the desperation out of your voice. Especially if the business is bad and business is slow and you need the sale, you start to get a little bit desperate. There's a little edge in your voice and the customer says, ooh, na 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 na. Watch out here. Whereas when you're really relaxed and you don't really care if they say yes or no, you do care. I mean, that's clear because you've come, but you're not really upset about it or really concerned. They're much more likely to buy from you when you're more relaxed. So assume the role. Just act as if you were already the person. If you want to be popular, act as if you're already popular. Treat people as if you're already popular. Now, here's what we said before. The feelings will generate the actions just like as the actions generate the feelings. If you assume the role and walk and talk and act as if you're already the person you want to be, the feeling will generate the actions and you'll actually behave that way. And then as you behave that way, it'll generate the feelings. This principle of reversibility is very powerful. It's very powerful. Just act as if you are already successful. You can act your way into feeling by pretending that you have the quality already. We say, fake it until you make it. Because if you just pretend you have the quality within a matter of minutes, you'll start to feel
quality. If you pretend that you're confident, you'll start to feel confident. If you pretend that you're happy, you'll start to feel happy. Affirmations are strong, positive statements that you say to yourself and believe. The most powerful words in your world are the words you say to yourself and believe. With affirmations, your future potential is unlimited. In other words, you become what you say to yourself most of the time. If you say it over and over again, you program it deeper and deeper into your subconscious programming until it begins to appear in your reality. Like the gentleman who wrote down 101 goals. Every one of those goals appeared in his reality within 12 years, which is an incredible story, but it's not the only time I've heard that. These are based on the three P's. Affirmations are, first of all, they must be personal. You always start an affirmation with the word I. I am, I earn, I achieve, I weigh. Second of all, like I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. Second of all, it must be positive. I am responsible. I am responsible. And third of all, it has to be present tense. I earn X number of dollars per year. I weigh X number of pounds. I drive such and such a BMW. I live in a 3,500 square foot custom-made house. One of my graduates did exactly that. When, before he changed jobs, he lost his job after the seminar, which he thought was a real bummer. And one of his goals was, I live in a brand new 3,500 square foot custom designed home. Within 12 months, he had gone through two jobs, changed his income, increased his income, and he was closing on the house. He came back to my seminar a year later, he was closing on the house. And it was a custom designed, beautiful home that the builder had decided to sell rather than occupy himself. And so, does it work? Well, you know, never can be sure. But what if it does? What if it does? So affirmations are powerful. Always speak to yourself in positive terms. When you write down your goals, you write them as affirmations. I earn this amount of money. I weigh this number of pounds. I live in such and such a home. I have such and such, I acquire or I achieve such and such a net worth, and so on. Verbalization, speaking your affirmation aloud. What we find is if you say something aloud, it has two or three times the impact as if you say it to yourself. Which is why you'll notice when football coaches are want to motivate the people, the players before the game, they said, okay, what are we going to do? We're going to kill them. What are we going to kill them? We're going to kill them. And they get themselves pumped. Because when you say it aloud, you get yourself really more motivated than if you just whisper it to yourself. So standing in front of a mirror and reading your goals or speaking out your verbalizations, I like myself. I like myself. I can do it. I can do it. I feel terrific. When you say it out loud and you say it to other people, if anybody ever asks me day or night, how do you feel? I always say, I feel terrific. I feel terrific. I feel terrific. And even if I don't, even when I was going through my cancer treatment last year, which is a very interesting experience, when people say, how are you doing? I say, I feel terrific. I'm feeling great. Everything's going great. Terrific. Terrific. Now, that might not have been completely true, but I was telling the truth in advance.
You see, you don't have to be a quantum leap different from somebody else. You just have to be a little tiny bit different in the critical areas that make a difference. And you can achieve that simply by making it a goal, setting it as a goal, and working on it. You can become anything that you want to become. The harder you work, the better you get. The harder you work, the better you get. You know, in our society, there's a lot of controversy over why should I work so hard for my job. The fact of the matter is that less than 5% really succeed. That's less than 5% of the population really succeed at life. Of 100 people working today, only one will be wealthy when they retire. Four will be financially independent. 15 will have some savings. 80% will be broke and dependent upon charities and pensions. Only 1 or 2% of people in each generation really makes it in life. And in every single study, those people who make it are those who work hard, hard, hard. And if you think that it's hard to be successful, try being a failure. Try coming to the end of the trail with no money, dependent upon pensions, and you don't know what hard is until you try living like that. But if you work hard, the average self-made millionaire in America works 12 to 13 hours a day, works about 60 to 65 hours a week. I'll tell you this with regard to hard work, that you, in our society, you only work 8 hours a day for survival. Everything over 8 hours is for success. And if you're only working 8 hours a day, you're in trouble. If you're only working 8 hours a day, you better have a rich uncle, or you better have somebody else who's going to take care of you, because 8 hours a day only gets you survival in our society. Because it's so competitive that somebody else is working 9, they've got an edge on you. Somebody else is working 10, they've got a bigger edge on you. Every hour over 8 that you invest is an investment in your future, is an investment in your success. And if you put in the hours over 8, whether it's studying or reading or working, if you put in the hours, it will pay off, and it will pay off in spades. It's like throwing seed in the ground. When you throw a seed in the ground, the plant that comes up is not just one seed, it's hundreds of seeds. There's a crop that you put in, but you must put the seed in the ground first. If you do all the things that we've talked about, if you concentrate on becoming excellent, concentrate single-mindedly, be clear about your goals, consider other people, practice the golden rule, if you practice courage, if you practice consistency, if you practice all of these, then pretty soon you develop a level of self-confidence. See, confidence comes as a result. You don't get confidence out of a bottle, you don't get confidence from a pill. You can't learn confidence in a motivational seminar. You only get confidence by doing certain things over and over again that build a solid foundation within your own mind that you can do whatever you need to do, that you have what it takes to be successful.
Self-discipline is the ability to make yourself do what you can do, what you should do, whether you feel like it or not. So luckily, self-discipline is a skill that can be learned and cultivated with continuous practice. Self-discipline is the number one quality that makes all the other qualities possible. Have you ever wondered why some people are able to achieve incredible feats and reach incredible heights within their field? Of course, many factors influence their success. But one thing all high achievers have in common is self-discipline. It is a habit, a practice, a philosophy, and a way of living. All successful men and women are highly disciplined in the important work that they do. All unsuccessful men and women are undisciplined and unable to control their behaviors and their appetites. And when you develop the same levels of high personal discipline possessed by the most goal-oriented, successful people in our society, you will very soon begin to achieve the same results that they do. It's no miracle. All great success in life is preceded by long, sustained periods of focused effort on a single goal, the most important goal, with the determination to stay with it until it is complete. Throughout history, we find that every man or woman who achieved anything lasting and worthwhile had engaged in long, often unappreciated hours, weeks, months, and even years of concentrated, disciplined work in a particular direction. Fortunately, the quality of self-discipline is something that you can learn by continuous practice, over and over, until you master it. Once you've mastered the ability to delay gratification, the ability to discipline yourself to keep your attention focused on the most important task in front of you, there is virtually no goal that you cannot accomplish and no task that you cannot complete. I have studied successful men and women for more than 40 years. And in the simplest of terms, successful men and women are those who work almost all the time on high-value tasks. Unsuccessful men and women are those who waste their time by wasting the minutes and hours of each day on low-value activities. You see, there is a crowding out principle in time and personal management. It simply says that if you spend all of your time on highly productive tasks, by the end of the day, you will have crowded out all the unproductive activities that might have distracted you from your real work and from what's really important. On the other hand, if you spend your time on low-value activities, the reverse happens. Those low-value activities will crowd out the time that you need to complete the tasks that can make all the difference in your life. And the key to this attitude toward time and personal management is always self-discipline. There are several disciplines that you need to develop if you want to achieve your full potential. Sit down with a pad of paper, a pen, and ample time to think. You think through and then make a written list of all the things that you want to accomplish in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 years. You organize the list into the various areas of your life, your career, your money, your family, your health, and the other parts that are important to you. Interestingly enough, if you can be clear about your goals and write them down, there's nothing that can stop you from achieving them.
When we allow stuff to clog our brain power, we lose clarity and focus, and that results in lost opportunity and loss of the ability to get things done quickly and well. Now, the human brain is capable of accomplishing great things, but only if it is clear to think, dream, and create. When you let too much clutter gather, it can stall your attempts at setting, let alone achieving your goals. So are you tired of feeling lost and sometimes flailing? Then it's time to unclutter your brain and open up the possibilities to analyze your situation with a clear head and reorganize your life. Break through the fog and give your brain what it needs most, affirmation. We are all guilty of sending ourselves negative messages. We don't mean to, it's just the kind of internal loop that tends to get through. And unless we make it a point to change the direction of our thoughts, those negative messages will become transported through our body. We'll actually start to believe them, creating chaos in everything we do. So don't let a cluttered mind strip you of the ability to experience life to its fullest. Feed your mind kind, gentle, and motivation-building affirmations instead. Talk to yourself in a positive, loving way. You may be surprised at the difference it makes. Did you know that 40,000 to 60,000 thoughts pass through your brain every day? No wonder our minds feel so cluttered. The first step to better mental clarity is deciding which of those thoughts you need and which ones can be tossed. Get rid of any negative messages that could be exhausting your reserves. They will be replaced by soothing, affirming ones. Now here's an interesting discovery. Nature abhors a vacuum. If you feed your mind with positive thoughts, you eliminate negative thoughts. But if you don't fill your mind with positive thoughts, psychologists have found that negative thoughts will automatically fill your mind and become more and more influential and persuasive. So talking to yourself in a positive way is very, very important.
Most people procrastinate at some point in their lives, and it's usually over things that they don't enjoy doing, or they feel overwhelmed about, or they put it off because they're not as fun or as satisfying as doing other things. There's always a reason to procrastinate. Now that's one of the reasons I'm such a big fan of diving into a cold pool first thing in the morning, because if you can get that out of your way first, it's pretty easy to deal with anything else that comes your way. So what I do, I now have a home with a big pool. What I do is I get up in the morning and I quickly go downstairs and jump in the pool before I have time to think about it. And wham, you jump in that pool, you hit that water, and you're on your way for the rest of the day. For some people, procrastinating seems to take the pressure off of us for a moment. But the longer we procrastinate, the more the stress builds as the time between when we intended to accomplish a task and when we actually accomplished it.
I was reading a book yesterday, and a very successful man who started with nothing said the turning point in his life was when his father told him, "Don't let anybody ever tell you that you can't do anything you put your mind to." And his father repeated that over and over all the time he was growing up on a farm with five other brothers. And when he grew up, there was nothing that he ever thought he couldn't do because of the influence of his father. You can influence the people in your life by saying the same thing. You can do anything you put your mind to. And say it to yourself, "I can do anything I put my mind to." Concentrate on the happiness of life over and over. Here are three types of affirmations for you to try. First, try mind-clearing affirmations. You can't even begin to unleash the power of your mind while it is jumbled with thoughts, especially negative or worry thoughts. It takes a certain amount of focus to clear the mind of unnecessary thoughts. Here are some mind-clearing affirmations that you can try. I am devoted to clearing my mind. My thoughts are organized. I will rid my mind of clutter. I will clear out mental baggage that is holding me back. Second, try calming affirmations. Once you begin to clear your mind, it's necessary to keep it calm in order to get it ready for the job ahead. Here are some good affirmations to help you calm a chaotic mind.
Say the words, my life is well balanced. Say the words, I stop letting life stress me out. Say, I know exactly what I need to do to relax and I do it. Say, I cleanse my thoughts so I only think positive things. Third, affirmations to help you focus. The next step to using positive affirmation is to succeed, is to bring a better focus to your mind. Here are some thoughts that can help you. Say the words, I will focus on things individually, one at a time. I retain more information because I have a great memory. I focus on what's important right now, in the moment. I have control over my thoughts. Always state your affirmations in the present tense as though it is a current reality. One of the things I learned at the beginning of my career is to always say the things that you want to be true about yourself and your life. And simultaneously, never say anything to yourself about yourself that you don't want to be true immediately. So always speak positively in the present tense. We've all had situations where during the day, nothing seems to get done, no matter how good our intentions are. Those days that seem to stretch on forever from the minute your morning alarm begins beeping away until the moment you finally turn out the lights and fall into bed, wondering how such a long day could still leave you feeling so unfulfilled. The cause of our sudden slumps may be related to stress at work, difficulties in our personal lives, and illness or injury, financial issues, or even just a lot of small mistakes or mishaps that have added up to a lasting feeling of demotivation that only becomes harder and harder to shake. When we lose the drive to propel ourselves forward and get lost in self-doubt or procrastination, which often go together, or uncertainty, it can quickly begin to feel like there's no way to get back on track again. Fortunately, this does not have to be the case. There are a lot of different paths that can lead you back to being your very best self with the motivation to keep moving through any situation life hands you, good or bad. If you're dealing with a lack of motivation, find it again with these inspirations. A great way to jumpstart your waning drive or enthusiasm for something you need or want to accomplish is to actively seek out something that inspires you. This is honestly one of the easiest ways there is to rediscover the spark of your ambition, and it's because you probably already know where to start. Your personal inspiration can be just about anything. A song that makes you feel great every time you hear it, a set of inspirational quotes that feels like they had to have been written just for you, that card your parents gave you after graduation that lists all of the reasons that they're proud of you, anything at all, as long as it stimulates you and brings you back to the mindset of confidence and determination that can get your juices flowing again. Individuals at the top of their game have learned how to achieve more and better results in less time than most people. Increasing your productivity is a critical step in achieving your personal and professional goals and creating the success you envision for yourself. Develop clear goals and write them down. Because higher productivity begins with clear goals, goal setting is a key component of our coaching program. As you know, a goal must be specific and measurable to be effective in guiding your behavior. It must reflect your beliefs and be within your power to achieve. Write a clear action plan. If you want to turbocharge your productivity, make sure that you have a clear written plan of action. Set your priorities. The third step is always to prioritize your list. Analyze your list before you take action. Identify and start with the high-value tasks on your list, especially the most important. Concentrate and eliminate distractions. In this step, you choose a high-value activity or task, start on it immediately, and then stay with it until it's done. Lengthen your workday, but increase your time off. By starting your workday a little earlier and working through lunchtime, and staying a little later, you can become one of the most productive people in your field. You can add 2 to 3 hours of productive time each day without really increasing the length of your day at all. Try some time blocking. Set aside 15 minutes per day, every day, to work towards your goals.
Block this time off somewhere in your schedule or planner. Treat this time block as you would any standing appointment and show up on time every time. If you think 15 minutes per day doesn't sound like very much, just consider that after 1 month, you will have spent 7 hours of dedicated time working towards your most important goal. After 1 year, you'll have spent 84 hours on your major goal, over 2 weeks of full-time work. Commit yourself to small increments of time and don't allow yourself to make excuses or get distracted. Anyone can carve out at least 15 minutes of their day to work on something that's important to them. If you keep showing up, you'll be amazed at what you can accomplish in a week or a month or a year. Get an accountability partner. Finding an accountability partner is a powerful and simple way to build self-discipline and accomplish all your goals. An accountability partner is someone who knows the goal that you are working on and will help you to stay focused. They can check in with you periodically to make sure you're staying on track, and you can check in with them to help them to achieve their goal. Why are accountability partners so helpful? Well, many of us find it easier to let ourselves down than to let someone else down. If we keep all of our goals private, nobody will know but us if we abandon them. But if we tell someone about our goals, we will also have to tell them when we give up. This social consequence is often enough to keep us from quitting. Ask a friend or coworker to be your accountability partner. Alternatively, share with your followers on social media. Do what it takes to hold yourself accountable. Remove temptation. Building self-discipline takes effort and energy. Help yourself out by removing any temptations that may challenge your focus and throw you off track. 97% of adult Americans are trying to live their lives without clear, specific, written goals. This is the same as setting off across an unknown country without a roadmap. You may get somewhere eventually, but it will take you much longer, and it's far more likely that you will get lost and waste an enormous amount of time than if you planned your trip carefully with a roadmap and full information about the future terrain before you started out. Create an action plan. It's always possible for you to turn all your dreams into reality as long as you commit to developing your self-discipline and taking dedicated action towards your goals. Eat that frog, which is such a great way to show self-discipline and increase productivity that I wrote an entire book on the concept, Eating Your Frog. It means tackling your biggest and hardest, your ugliest tasks first. If you start off your day by eating a frog, every other task will seem like a breeze in comparison, since you've already done the hardest and most unpleasant thing first. Use this concept to help you prioritize your activities during your dedicated time blocks, and the momentum will help you to stay on track.
Focus on the value of the tasks you complete. While the number of hours you put in is important, what matters most is the quality and quantity of results you achieve. It's not activity, it's accomplishments. Align your work with your skills. Skill and experience count. You achieve more in less time when you work on tasks at which you are especially skilled or experienced. Always do things you're better at because you get much more done. Group similar activities and do them all at the same time. Making all your calls, completing all your estimates or reports, or preparing all your presentation slides at the same time allows you to develop speed and skill at each activity. You get better and better and do it faster and faster. Move past mediocrity. One of the most common causes of motivational burnout can come when we allow ourselves to coast by on the bare minimum of effort required to do whatever it is we need to do. If you find yourself completing tasks on autopilot, stop what you're doing and acknowledge it. Think about all of the ways that you could add a new, more challenging layer to
Anything you need to do, from completing a mundane task at work to cooking a meal. When you focus on what you need to do, consider the process you've been following and look for ways to do things more efficiently.
The most successful and self-disciplined people I know have aim and purpose. They focus all of their energy on their highest priority tasks, and they don't waste time on unproductive activities. While it may seem like a superhuman feat, these successful men and women have simply capitalized on their self-discipline by remembering their why, the underlying reasons why they are working so tirelessly toward their goal. Every now and then, ask yourself, what will my life look like after I complete this goal? Or, what would my life look like if I don't complete this goal? When you remember why you are working so hard towards your goal, it becomes much easier to stay focused on how you'll get it done. Visualize yourself as a success. Reflect on the impact you hope to make. Imagine that what it will feel like to be victorious. This will stoke the embers of energy and inspiration inside you and help light the way towards your potential.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.